The Passion of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you do to give me by hand over to you?"
They gave him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Go into the city of a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In the house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, Jesus reclined at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to Jesus, one after another,
"Surely he is the Son of God."
Jesus said in reply,
"He was dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in his life,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
And Jesus answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then Jesus took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after speaking at him, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night, all of you will have the faith in me shaken. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to Jesus in reply,
"Though all may have their faith be shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times."
Peter said to Jesus,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
Jesus took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then Jesus said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
Jesus advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will."
When Jesus returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
We draw in the second night. Jesus prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that for this cup pass, without my drinking it, your will be done.
Then Jesus returned once more and found them asleep, for they did not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again, and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then Jesus returned to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to the sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my true betrayer is at hand.
While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
The man of peace is the one. Arrest him.
Immediately, Judas went over to Jesus and
said, Rabbi.
And Jesus kissed Jesus. Jesus answered him,
Friend, to what you have come for?
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, threw it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him,
Put the sword back into your sheath, for all to take the sword, will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how would be the scriptures be fulfilled? Would say that it must come to pass in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples left Jesus and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following Jesus at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
This man said, I can destroy the temple of God, and within 3 days rebuild it.
The high priest rose and addressed Jesus.
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him, I replied,
You have said so. So I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, in coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
He has blasphemed.
What further we
have we all witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?
They said in line,
He deserves to die.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
I do not know what you were talking about.
As Peter went out to the gate, another girl spoke him and said to those who were there,
This man was with Jesus the Nazarene.
Again, Peter denied him with an oath.
I do not know the man.
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
Show
Surely you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away.
At that, Peter began to curse and to swear.
I do not know the man.
Immediately, a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned with 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying,
I have seen betrayed innocent blood.
They said,
what is that to us? Look at yourself.
Fleeing the money to the temple, Jesus departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
it is not all who call it this in the temple treasury, for it is the rest of the blood.
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field, a burial place for foreigners. That is why in that field, even today, is called the field of blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah, the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the body of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded. Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned Jesus.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said.
You say so.
And when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and elders, who made your answer? And Pilate said to Jesus,
you do not hear many things they are testifying against you.
But Jesus did not answer in one word. So that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release the crowd one prisoner who they wished. Another time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?
For Pilate knew that he was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over. While Pilate was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message.
Have nothing to do with that righteous man. They suffered much in the day because of him.
The chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but for destroying Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said,
let him be crucified.
Pilate said,
why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
let him be crucified.
When Jesus saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that arrived was bringing up his head. He took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply,
may the blood be upon us and upon our children.
Then Pilate released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed Jesus over be crucified. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered a whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
hail, King of the Jews!
They spat upon Jesus and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had bound him, They stripped him of the clothes, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Samaritan named Chief Simon. This man came dressed with the servants to carry Jesus' cross. And when they came to a place where Golgotha was, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled Jesus, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who destroy the temple in your name in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
"He saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of the earth. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. We trust in God. If you ask him, for he said, I am the Son of God."
The revolutionaries who were crucified with Jesus also kept abusing Jesus in the same way. From whom onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, tani."
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and put it in a reed, gave it to Jesus to drink. But the rest said, remains there, facing the tomb. The The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, you remember that this monster was killed by sin. After 3 days, I will release him." He orders them that the grave is secured for the third day. Yes, his disciples come and see him and say to the people, "He has been raised from the dead. This last monster will be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and set in the guard.
The Gospel of the Lord. Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. You know some meaning? Oh yeah, you're forsaking me. This is the phrase that saved my vocation. When I was still in a seminary, I was looking for something great. Unity. But I couldn't find much. There was not much unity in the seminary, the community. I was looking for something great because it's promised by the Lord that all may be one, but I couldn't find. I was a little bit disappointed until I met this phrase, "God, God, why have you forsaken me?" This is a phrase that Jesus gave his life completely. He suffered physically and also spiritually. This is the experience of a soul that's in complete darkness. That's what John of the Cross always mentioned, or St. Teresa of Avila always telling us, our soul is a deep, deep darkness. And Jesus experienced both physical and spiritual darkness. But he never lost his hope. He knows whatever he encountered, that is the will of God, so that people will be saved. And I understood this word. But what I mean for I understand this, Lord God, God, why have you forsaken me? So, in our life experience, anything that hurts us, that makes us feeling bad, negative, all this Jesus had experienced by himself. So what I understand is, when I encounter all these little things, not happy things, I remember, I offer it to the Lord and continue to live the will of the Lord. That's very important. That means I have to live death and resurrection at the same time. I have to die of this feeling and live the present moment in the will of God. Many times we say, when I settle these things, I do this thing, I can do much better. But what I have learned from this phrase is no. Even you are in darkness. Even you do not know how to go ahead. But I understand, it's not important that you solve this problem or you haven't or had this problem. This is very secondary. It's most important, this present moment. I have to live the will of God. That means I have to love wholeheartedly with this person or with this group. If I always thinking things of myself, of thinking of my community, and I never dare to give, just to close myself. I cannot love much. So it helps me. All this race, God, why have you forsaken me? So all these feelings, Jesus, you know, offer to you. I don't know how to solve it. You know, I offer it. So this moment, the next moment, or we say that resurrection is now a new life. It means nothing else. Nothing from the past, nothing for the future, just present moment. I wholeheartedly with this person, do this fully well in this action. Nothing else. This is the meaning of Passover. From death to life. Jesus, he died, but he's never said. He knows it is the will of the Father. So many times in the Gospel he said, if it is your will, thy will be done upon me. So I try to do. That's why Jesus asks us to live like a child. A child never think of the things in the future. Neither for the past. They just live the present moment. When they're hungry, they cry. That's all. They never think tomorrow whether I have milk. They just, this moment, I need this. That's why Jesus asks us to live like a child. Not childish. Childlike. Trust. If you trust the Lord, you don't worry so much about what will be tomorrow. These things is important. Mostly, if we do it well this moment, we have a sufficient grace to do the next moment. And most of the time, all these thinkings of the future or thinking of the past is a kind of temptation, so that we lose our patience. Because you use so much energy to prepare for the future, thinking for the past, and you don't only want 20% energy for the present moment. This is not the will of God. The will of God that you be 100% living in His will. Just example, I can have many problems myself, but at this moment, I know there's the will of God. I have to speak, put my thoughts aside, and try to live. You too. You must behave many things from the office, from the family, so many questions, so many problems. You might try to think it out and how to solve it. Stop it. Hand it over to the Lord. Offer it. It's difficult because something of yourself. You have to lose it. You have to gain. You see? Jesus loses his life, so that we gain life. You lose as if you lose. Losing is love. Love is death. When you say you love your partner, if you're not ready to die for him, how can you say you love him or love her? Jesus said very clearly, there is no love as the one who loses his life for another. This is the greatness of love. Love means death. That doesn't mean physically. Death of your ego, selfishness, self-centeredness, death of all these things. And just put God's will, this moment, nothing else. And this is how we say we are His followers. We make mistakes. Don't worry. You will never all the time so perfect. Even Peter, no? He loved Jesus so much. He's already promised, Jesus, if people catch you, I will kill them. What? Also, he will try to kill the man who wants to capture Jesus. But he just cut off the head, the ear of the servant. At the end, he betrayed Jesus three times. When they find him out in the garden, "Oh, you are the Easter disciples." What he said, "I never meet this man. I never know him. I don't know him." That's all. But when he saw Jesus there, he cried. He went up. After the resurrection of the Lord, Jesus asked him just 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" Again, "Peter, do you love me?" Once again, Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me?" That's what Jesus expects from us. Do you love him? If you love him, lose yourself for him. For him. You love this person for the sake of his good, for the sake of Jesus. That's what the word of Jesus says, no? Whatever you do to the least, you're doing it to me. Even this the classmates, companions, no matter who, treat them as you treat Jesus. It's difficult because you have the self so strong. You're better than many people. But follow Jesus, you lose yourself. You're nobody, only Jesus. So I hope that the word of Paul keep your motto of your life. Today I live. It's not that I live, but Jesus lives in me. It's Jesus in you. Whole life. You know how to live Jesus' life because you know how to lose. That's what the Eddie Lema Sabat Tani.